My name is Ruth, and I am an addict. Welcome everyone. It's great to see everyone here. When I was asked to do this share, I was kind of thinking, you know, what am I going to say? What profound things can I say about DAA? And then I thought, stop being so pompous and, you know, just do your job. You know, and actually there is nothing more profound than the stories of how, you know, people like us have recovered, you know, through DAA and through a 12-step program. So that's basically what you're going to get. But, you know, I was reflecting last night on how this convention has been. And I do just want to say this, you know, I'm really impressed. I'm impressed at the organisation and the effort that people have put into this. And I'm equally impressed at, like, the effect that this has had. You know, for me personally, it just fills me with so much kind of hope and gladness to see, you know, there's people from Sweden, of course, from Blackpool, from London, from Cornwall, from all over the place, people who are out there sharing this message, and the fact that we're all doing the same kind of work. You know, we've all got a very simple message to share and one that we know works. And, you know, and that's been a really powerful thing for me. And, you know, I just wanted to say that. So, for myself, you know, I was using for many years. And I didn't think I had a problem until I tried to stop. You know, I took drugs and sometimes it was fun, sometimes, you know, life was complete chaos and I was lurching from one crisis to another. But there wasn't really any problem in that. You know, I just thought that was what life was like and, you know, and I just kind of muddled through it and, you know, I would kind of get knocked down, but I would get up and brush myself off and carry on, which actually turned out to be one of my biggest problems. You know, when I got to a point where I wanted to stop, that's when it really got scary, because suddenly I found that I couldn't stop. And that completely, you know, it turned into a whole different ball game. And I often think of that when that happened, as being kind of much later on in my using, when I was physically addicted to drugs and, you know, life had become this very closed space and very, you know, a lot of unpleasantness. But actually, you know, I was thinking yesterday that it went right back, even in the early days of my using when my daughter was born, and I couldn't cope with smoking cannabis because, I had this little tiny baby to look after, and I would just get really paranoid and anxious every time I smoked cannabis. And I thought, I'm not going to do it. Well, I couldn't not do it. Every time someone passed a spliff round, and I was surrounded by, you know, I had surrounded myself with people who did all that, I couldn't say no. Half the time I'd take it before my brain even kicked in. But, you know, that was early on, and I was able to kind of rationalise that away and just carry on with what I was doing. So, you know, it carried on for many years until I got to this point where I was physically addicted to drugs and, you know, I just really wanted to stop. My life that I thought with drugs would be this really kind of big, exciting, you know, expand your horizons kind of life had just turned into like a little room, really, and the curtains drawn and, you know, and really no life at all. And I could see that. And I wanted to stop using. I wanted to stop waking up every morning with that wrenching feeling in my gut about where was I going to get drugs from and what was going to happen today, you know. I tried for many years to stop using. And there were times when every single day I was going to stop. Every single day, you know, I would wake up in the morning and I'd think, I'm not going to score today, and I would lie on the bed and writhe around and moan for a couple of hours, if that, and then phone my dealer. And And then there were other times where I thought, this is just not going to happen and I might as well just get on with it and use, and maybe I'll die at some point and, you know, what the hell. But really, you know, I wanted to stop, and I'm one of the lucky addicts, so I'm told, who didn't end up in a rehab. I tried to battle this stuff on my own, and I tried to kind of hold my life together into some sort of semblance. You know, I worked and I brought my daughter up or dragged her up, as the case may be. And, you know, and I tried to kind of carry on with life. But, you know, I got to a point where I was completely beaten. I got to a point where... you know, and today I'm so grateful for it. At the time, I didn't feel very grateful, but, you know, that all that delusion, all that rationalisation, all that justification just fell away from me. And, you know, I consider myself incredibly lucky that that happened to me, because that was my step one experience, was when I saw my life for what it really was. I'd had glimpses here and there, but I saw the whole picture in such a way that I could almost touch it. I could see, you know, I knew exactly what was going to happen. And that was the point at which I knew I was completely doomed. I was out of ideas and, you know, I had nowhere to turn. And it really was, you know, I had to do something different or die, really. You know, those were the two choices. And that was the point at which I turned to a group that I knew were working a programme, a group that I knew were serious about what they did, and a group that I knew were, you know, did what they said, and you know, this, as I said last night, you know, this group that I'd been avoiding like the plague for many years, because I hadn't wanted to face up to myself. You know, I hadn't wanted to even admit how much of a problem that I had. But I was ready. I was ready once I'd really seen, you know, the depth and the breadth of my problem. And, you know, I'm very, very fortunate. Although DAA wasn't, you know, we in England, we didn't have a DAA fellowship. But, you know, I went to a group who were doing exactly, they were doing then exactly what they're still doing now as DAA. They were working a simple program out of the basic text of Alcoholics Anonymous. And they were able to give me a very direct message and tell me exactly what it was that was wrong with me. And I identified immediately. You know, after all the years that I'd been looking for some answer to whatever this problem might be that I couldn't even name, they said things that just fitted. I just knew they were right. And I had this, you know, just enough humility and willingness and faith to take on board what they said and start putting it into action in my life. My life has never been the same since that day. It has changed for me beyond all recognition. You know, I have a completely different life today. A life, you know, I would say a life that, you know, I'd always dreamed of, except that I didn't even have dreams. I didn't have aspirations or ambitions. I was resigned to life previously. And, you know, I now have a life that is... It has purpose, it has meaning. I'm very busy, you know, but I'm busy in the best possible way. I pack a lot into my life, and not only that, thank you, but I thoroughly enjoy it. You know, I'm able to kind of engage with the world in a meaningful way. And, you know, I'm able to carry on working this program in my life, because that is the only way I'm going to keep this stuff, is through continuing to practice these principles in all my affairs, you know. And why would I want to stop, really? Because right from the very start, when I was first given some basic suggestions, they started to work in my life. You know, the little bit of faith that I had, the little bit of, well, it's worked for them, maybe it could work for me, turned into experience. You know, I did this and it worked. You know, I prayed and I felt calmer. I prayed and I was able to deal with this situation. I phoned somebody and I was able to get away from my own thinking. You know, these things worked for me, and that kind of drove me on to continue doing them. And they still work for me today. You know, I'm still self-centered, you know, and I still need to phone other people. I'm still self-willed and I need to keep in touch with my sponsor and you know, check out my thinking. I'm not immune to this stuff. But I know without any doubt in my mind that when I continue to do this stuff, my life is going to continue on the same lines it's been on for the last 6.5 years. And let me tell you, I love it. You know, I really love it. You know, I couldn't wish for more in my life. And to say that it's been very simple is probably what amazed me more than anything. You know, I'd always thought there was going to be some really complicated, convoluted kind of solution. I don't even know if I believed there was a solution, but treatment, I suppose, for whatever was wrong with me. And actually, you know, it's been very simple. But it's been made all the more simple because I had a home group who set an example to me, and, you know, I have a fellowship, you know, and I'm part of something bigger. You know, I'm no longer, I now recognise, thank God, that I am not the be-all and end-all. And, you know, I'm able to kind of get involved in something that, you know, lots of other people are doing. And that's a wonderful feeling. You know, that kind of carries me along. And I think my time's probably up, so I better wrap this up. You know, it's been a very, very simple program because this stuff has been placed in front of me in a very simple way. And all I've had to do is follow instructions. And that's it, really. It's that simple. I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you, Ruth. I will now hand you over to Tommy, who's been asked to share his experience and talk with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Simon. I'm Tommy. I'm a recovered addict.
Hey, Tommy.
Hello. This is a bit weird. I've never shared this early in a day. I'm usually in bed by now, this time on a Sunday, or thinking about having a coffee and a fag. Yeah, thank you for asking me to do this. Yeah, I was listening to Ruth there, and I identified, you know, when I first turned up to a meeting. I'm lucky, I should start with this. I regard myself as lucky. I wasn't in the 12-step fellowships very long before I came across people that were talking just like Ruth has just spoken about, you know, talking with conviction and informing me of what I was suffering with. I didn't understand what it was. I didn't understand what was going on in my life. I was just a massive worrier, and I just regarded myself as a bit of a depressive young man for many, many years. And I found life difficult. I found life difficult being who I am and feeling the way that I've felt throughout my life. You know, it was someone used this word chore, and I liked it, so I've nicked it. And I found life to be an absolute chore most of the time. From the moment that I woke up in the morning, I didn't want to be part of this world. I didn't want to have to interact with all those people that I have to interact with, and you know, because I just found it very extremely difficult to not want to slap a lot of people, quite frankly, most of the time. You know, I would find most people in my life extremely irritating, and I seem to kind of have naturally been born with this propensity to want to regulate everyone, and and correct everyone in my life. And that, you know, that's kind of been with me since I was a child. I was doing that when I was a kid to all my mates. Or you shouldn't be doing that. Or don't do that. You know, to everyone I'm knocking around with. They're playing knockdown ginger and posting, you know, stuff through people's letterboxes and and putting bangers in it. And, you know, I'm from a very early age, I can clearly recall, you know, me trying to stop my friends doing this sort of stuff, but then at the same time really enjoying it once it all goes off and people coming out the door chasing us down the street. It was all fun then, but, you know, I just seem to have had this kind of natural moral barometer naturally always felt like I was right and everyone else was wrong, is what I'm saying. That followed me throughout my life. And I just felt, you know, I heard my sponsor talking about just feeling wrong. Most of the time I just felt out of place. I felt like there was something deeply wrong with me and I couldn't put my finger on what it was. I discovered drugs, which was brilliant, you know. It's like most of us have spoken about, you know, it just helped me to be able to deal with the way that I naturally feel. And I loved it, you know, for quite a long time. I went through various different stages, as we all do, you know, dancing with white gloves on and with whistles in my mouth and wearing weird, brightly coloured stuff, and then I went through a rock and roll period, you know, and that was fun. I just couldn't cope with how I naturally felt, is basically what I'm trying to say, and it was difficult being me. I felt very sorry for myself most of my life. I just had this natural feeling that the world owed me something. World owed me a living, you know, people, I wanted things to happen for me without putting any effort into to try to attain the jobs that I wanted or the career, you know, that I believed that I was born to do and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, I was miserable a lot. I was a miserable man quite a lot. Behind closed doors. When I was out in public, I'd put on this facade. I'd try to pretend, try to make out that I was a very confident, very tough individual, sexy and all the rest of it. And behind closed doors, I felt very inadequate. I was extremely concerned about what you thought about me, how you saw me. How other people perceived me in my life. And so I spent a lot of time trying to convince you that, as I say, that I wasn't this frightened, lost, confused young person, you know. And it took up a lot of my energy, you know. I wasted a lot of energy doing that. And I carried on using drugs. I had a lot of good times, but I want to do this disease, I then started to have really, really bad times and not so happy times. And in the end, you know, I realised that I couldn't stop using drugs. I realised that I couldn't go out without using drugs. I couldn't do a lot of things without using drugs. And I didn't want to anymore. I really didn't want to. And but I just couldn't stop doing it. Or I could stop for periods of time, but I just couldn't stay stopped. And I ended up telling my parents what was going on, and my mum actually helped me, first of all. She gave me a number to a place, and I went there. It was like a day release place. Done a lot of painting about how I'm feeling, and talking about all that sort of stuff, you know, triggers, whatever that meant, I don't know. But I completed this thing, and And then when I even got a certificate to tell me that I'd completed it with me and this other guy called Animal. From Bermondsey. me and Animal, we celebrated getting through this course. His brother owned a limousine firm, and I ended up in the back of this limousine with Animal and a few people to celebrate me getting through that little period of my life. And there's nothing profound about me, quite frankly, and I'm not going to try and talk about this in a profound way. You know, I talk from the heart is what I was taught. You know, that's what I related to when I first met my sponsor and a bunch of people that were talking about this disease. They were armed with the facts, as we say, and I started to. As I said in the beginning of my share, I was lucky. I wasn't around long before I heard people talking about this disease in a way that helped me to understand what I was dealing with. Because I didn't know. I had no clue. You know, I went to treatment centres green as Kermit the Frog. I'm in these rehabs, and I'm talking to my missus on the phone, and she's saying, "So what's it like?" And I'm like, yeah, it's all right as it happens. It's, you know, some lovely people in here, but Jesus, they've done some stuff in their life. And I'm reeling off on the phone to my missus what these people have done. And then in the feelings group the next day, they're saying, going around the room, "How are you feeling?" "Yeah, I'm really angry. I want to kill Tommy." And I'm going around the room and, "Yeah, I want to kill Tommy." I'm like, shit. Going on here, and they come round. "How are you feeling, Tommy?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm blinding. Yeah, lovely. I'm, yeah, yeah, I'm cracking." And you know, I didn't like that place much. And but you know, I guess I was introduced to the steps in these places. But you know, I came out and I used again. And because I couldn't cope with the way that my thoughts made me feel. But anyway, so I turned up at this meeting only about a month of going round to some 12-step fellowships, and I ended up hearing this guy. No way. I ended up hearing this guy talking about how peaceful he felt as a result of working a program and you know, having a power greater than himself in his life. And I walked across to him and asked him to sponsor me. And I got on with what I was told to do. I discovered that I suffered with a threefold illness, and I started going through the work. You know, and as a result of doing that, I started to experience a sense of freedom that I've never known. You know, I felt imprisoned by my own mind, and things started to change pretty quickly. You know, obviously not quick enough at times for me, but I chose a kind of sponsor, you know, that didn't pull any punches. You know, he told me straight, and a lot of it stung at first. You know, I was a very arrogant man, very prideful man. Like I said in the beginning, you know, I think I know best, always have done. But I understood that, you know, I admitted defeat, and I understood, you know, I don't know if it was intuition, but I just knew how much trouble I was in. And then when I asked this guy to sponsor me, he started to illustrate to me. You know, he taught me what I was dealing with, and he taught me that there was a way out if I just did this simple work, you know. I guess, as I said, I just intuitively knew that I was banging trouble, basically, and I got on with this work. I started to make amends to people, and it's I've had a wonderful experience. You know, I've had a spiritual experience. What that means to me is that I no longer walk around with that horrible feeling, that fearful, horrible knot in my stomach anymore. You know, that was on me all the time. And, You know, I'd have to go and take the edge off and have to start using and to try to feel normal. You know, I just liked the way that it made me feel when I did it. And you know, as a result of doing this work, I now feel as the most comfortable I've ever felt inside. And you know, I never thought that the solution to this problem would be to try and help other people, you know. And, you know, I how long have I got left?
2 minutes.
What can I say? It's wonderful to be down here. I've been coming down here for, I don't know, 5 years. A couple of times a year. I love coming down here. And this is great. This little event, it's good stuff. And, you know, I try to help other people now. You know, I take people through this work myself. I work with other people. And what that does is, you know, this power greater than me has restored me to sanity. And I sometimes still get a little bit wrapped up with these character defects and... you know, I use these spiritual tools that I was given, that I was taught to use, and I do it every day. I work a daily spiritual program, and as a result of that, I'm growing spiritually, I guess. You know, I will never be cured, but I am a recovered addict. I no longer use drink and drugs. You know, I love life now. I wanted to end my life. I didn't want to be alive anymore. I couldn't see a way out before I started working a program. I could not see how I was going to be able to cope with the rest of my life feeling the way that I felt. And I wanted to end it. You know, we've heard a lot of people talking about having suicidal thoughts, and yeah, that they plagued me for a long time, fantasizing about it, I don't do that anymore. I don't do that anymore, and I'm a grateful person today. I recently had the most unself-centered holiday I've ever had. I celebrated 5 years hanging off a parachute, 6,500 foot up in the air, and I'm afraid of heights, you know. And it was a wonderful experience, but the reason it was a wonderful experience was because as a result of doing this stuff, my partner, who I love, who has stuck by me through it all, now experiences a much better way of life, as well as me, you know. And but yeah, thank you for asking me to do this. Sorry if it was a bit confused, muddled, but yeah, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. You know, I don't want to go back to that life. I don't, and I'll leave it there. Thanks.
Thank you, John.